Now it feels like the 2024 season has officially begun. We know about free agency, but the NFL draft is a phenomenon in and of itself. Months and months of speculation, research, and discussion, and to use an old ag term, the hay is in the barn. This is the class of 2024 for your Kansas City Chiefs, and this Defending the Kingdom podcast is brought to you by Ticketmaster.
McKinnon is in at running back. First down and goal to go. Play action fake. Right side throw. Touchdown! Kansas City! McCole Hardman with the catch on the right side. A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs, along with senior team reporter Matt McMullen. We have our draft gear on as the back-to-back Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs have selected their class of 2024. First of all, what an incredible draft fest that we had on Saturday. I almost thought it was the best one we've ever had. The timing went right up to our 2 fourth-round picks, right on time. But to have Xavier Worthy celebrate his 21st birthday in front of thousands of fans on the field at GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium, I won't forget.
It was super cool, and we're actually recording this on Saturday night, so that was earlier today, and it was awesome. It's one thing to have him tour the facility, and he was here the day prior. We got to meet him for the first time, and he was having a great time, but for him to go out there to see the stadium and to see fans on the field who are so excited to see him and welcome him into the Chiefs family, it was really awesome. And as excited as he was, I was watching his mom. His mom, like, I've never seen someone with so much pride in their eyes watching their son. It has to be so cool for his 21st birthday to be celebrated on the grass at the stadium in the NFL where he's going to play as a first-round pick. It's pretty awesome. So, Xavier Worthy, welcome to the kingdom.
And his nickname is Zay. I brought up the fact that we're going to get to it a little bit here. We're going to discuss all these draft picks. But for Xavier, he brings back explosiveness in the punt return game. We saw it with McCole Hardman in 2019 in specific. 2016, the Chiefs win the division largely in part to an explosive punt return and punt return game. But I remember Tyreek Hill, the crowd's calling the shot. You know, Tyreek, and he runs it all the way back for a touchdown. Today, as you'll view this later, but today, again, recording it on the Saturday night of Draft Fest, when the crowd started going, Zay, 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 he was just looking around like, oh my gosh, it's like we're officially on with this. It was a cool moment.
You know what I always remember about that Tyreek punt return is it happened organically, but then he got like tackled for like a 5-yard punt return, but there was a penalty. So he got to do it again, and the crowd's like, all right, we're going to
do it again.
And then he returned it for a touchdown. It was the craziest thing. Yeah. I was an intern back then, and what's amazing about it, we forget now because Tyreek Hill is Tyreek Hill, but back then he wasn't. He was, you know, a guy that was just returning punts that we were kind of excited about, who had flashed some things, and I think his stardom really arrived in that moment. It was incredible. But yeah, to have everyone chanting Xavier Worthy's name, for him to feel that love from the Chiefs and from the Chiefs kingdom, that's important. You want them to realize that this is a family here. It's not just any NFL franchise, not just any city. This is where you're going to play football, and this place is going to love you. And that's important, and he certainly felt that here today on his birthday.
It was loud and clear that they are ready for Zay to turn it loose. And thanks to Austin Woodard, he bought Xavier cake. We sang him happy birthday, and it was just a cool moment, a draft fest that's been just unique and set apart. Okay, we're going to jump into this class, including Zay, but before we do that, let's have our own draft fest around the world.
Yeah, I met three people over at Draft Fest here today. I wanted to shout out. So shout out to Mark and his son, Jaden, from Germany. I didn't get the full story on if they live here or if they traveled from Germany, but he's from Germany, and they correspond with a lot of our German fans. You know, we have a huge German fan base, and apparently he's kind of the conduit. So shout out to Mark and Jaden. They were awesome. I met Shane at Draft Fest. Then I also met Mitch at Draft Fest, not you, a different Mitch. He wanted to let me know that he listens to DTK while doing his dishes. And when we have like the 25-minute episodes, it's kind of perfect. But his wife was there, and she was reaffirming that, like, yep, every single time he does dishes, turns on DTK. So, Mitch, if you're doing dishes right now, thanks for listening.
Just use enough soap and change the water out. The water's a little cold. 25 minutes of doing dishes? I mean, what are those guys doing? They're like...
Well, you know what? I think I'm mixing it up because he told me that he listens to DTK also at times when he's driving to work.
Okay.
And if it's longer than 25 minutes, that's a little bit too long for his drive. Okay. But when he's not listening on the way to work, he listens while doing his dishes.
Maybe he's doing dishes at, I don't know, Hy-Vee Market Grill. He's doing dishes all day. Whatever it takes, Mitch. And yes, love the name, buddy. So use enough soap. Make sure the water, you change it out every now and then, and the water's warm enough, right? Get him clean. All right, let's just jump into this draft class. And I think overall, let's give kudos here to Brett Veach and his team, his own team. And we've talked about those guys and gals, you know, really for weeks and weeks in preparation of this. But this draft class, to me, has value written all over it. When you look at the guys that were chosen, when they were chosen, what they can potentially bring, I just think it's a value-filled group.
And it's hard to find great value and to find game-changing players, if we're being honest, in the draft when you're picking at the bottom of every single round. This is why the NFL is designed that way. It's to prevent dynasties. The NFL doesn't want that. They want to have every single team having a chance every single year. The Chiefs have found a way to defy that by still finding great players and getting great value in the draft, even though they're picking at the bottom of every round almost every single year. And that's a testament to Brett Veach and this front office because they really just dig in on these guys and they trust their evaluation. And we've seen so many players in the later rounds contribute to championship teams. And hopefully these guys we drafted here over the last 3 days are going to do the same. But yeah, we feel really good right now about the value that we got. Of course, the grade is incomplete. They have to go out there and play, earn their spot, show what they can do. But if you're looking just at rankings of players that we had going into the draft, look at third-party rankings, like Dane Brugler is one of my favorites. He had some players here on his board that we got way later than he thought they would be available. So it's exciting when you're looking at the raw numbers of the value that we got here. They got to go out there and earn it. But at least today, I'm very excited about this year's class of players.
Usually they say, well, it takes 2 years to know it can really evaluate a draft class, or 3 years. Not with Brett Veach and not in recent history here. The 2022 class comes to mind with 7 drafted defensive players and with Jack Cochran, an undrafted free agent, to have 8 rookies.
Go Yotes.
Go Yotes, baby. To have 8 rookies that were part of a Super Bowl championship, and that's never been done in the history of the leagues. And we've seen the impact of the 21 class. We know that right away. It was Creed Humphrey and Bolt and Trey Smith. So who knows? These guys, and we feel it. You and I both feel this, that there is going to be some immediate contribution in this class. So let's jump in here. You're going to get immediate contribution from Xavier Worthy. The more we have found out about him, the coordinators today, and I thought Matt Nagy was very forthright in talking about why he was so valuable to the Chiefs. Yes, he's a punt returner. Yes, he led the FBS in punt returns. Just find his 74-yard punt return against Brigham Young and you'll be salivating. But Matt gave us an indication of his value, not just physically, popping the 4-2-1 right at the combine, but there's more than meets the eye here with Xavier Worthy, and that's what Matt Nagy kind of clued us into.
And I think that's really important to emphasize. Yeah, he ran a 4-2-1-40, which is insane. It's ridiculous. Humans shouldn't be able to move that fast. It's the fastest 40-yard dash time in the history of the NFL scouting combine. But what you can't do is just lump him in with guys who also have really fast 40 times. They're all different players with different stories. They all just happen to be fast. For Xavier Worthy, he is so much more than just a really fast straight-line speed guy. He has the sprinter speed, but he's more than that. He's one of the best route runners in this year's class. He doesn't just run the go route. He runs a complete route tree because he can use his speed to manipulate the coverage in the defense. He can accelerate, decelerate. He can jab step. He can do so many things while running his route to make the defense adjust and make mistakes. And that speed makes him so dangerous in this offense. I think this might be the perfect situation for him because, yeah, he can stretch the field. We're excited about that. We know he can do that. But think of all the ways Coach Reed's going to use him along the line of scrimmage. Think about orbit motions, jet sweeps, putting him in motion. The defense has to respect his speed at all times, and that's going to open things up for other players as well. I also love his production at Texas. That's important to note here. Because some players, a lot of players in this draft, didn't really do a whole lot, then had like one or two great seasons. That's not Xavier Worthy. He was really, really good his entire career at Texas. Played there 3 years. Every single year, he had at least 60 catches, 750 yards, and 5 touchdowns, including 1,000 receiving yards last year. Think about all the mouths that were competing for targets as well in that offense. Guys like Adonai Mitchell, Jadeveon Sanders, really good players. And he was consistently getting the ball. So we're getting a really exciting player here who, yeah, he has the 4-2-1 40, but that's not the reason he was drafted. He does so many other things well, and he happens to be incredibly fast as well.
To tag your point, only one of three FBS wide receivers from 21, 22, 23 that had 2,750-plus receiving yards and 25-plus touchdowns receiving. Only one of three. So it gives you the idea of his consistent production in 3 years. And he's only 21. His 21st birthday was today. But I'm going to take you back. Something I said on the stage earlier today that I tweeted it out because we were looking at all these wide receivers. I said, here's your checklist. Check. They work right away. Work hard from the get-go. Two, learn an analogy here of learning three languages in 4 months, meaning you have got to learn the terminology of this offense. And another check, can you play every position? You're not an X, split in. You're not a flanker, flanker, Z. You're not a slot. You're everything. You're all of that. In discussing that with him today on the stage, his eyes lit up because he can, even though he's slender, let's take the knock here. He's 165, okay? But what was DeSean Jackson? When he came out of Cal going to Philly, because that's the comp right now people are talking about with Coach. But still, he didn't flinch at all. And the fact that I think he has got the ability to maybe absorb and be work at it right away, he checks all those boxes.
I have two thoughts on this, and both of them relate back to DeSean Jackson, because I think these two reasons are one of the main reasons DeSean Jackson was so good in the NFL. This guy is really smart. He's really, really smart, and he's ready to handle a lot in the NFL, I think, because he did a lot at Texas. He didn't just have one role at Texas. Again, he wasn't just go-route guy. He could have been. He would have been amazing at that, but he was so much more. And also, he wants to keep going all day at practice. Like, everything we've gathered about him is that he does not want to stop. A lot of players, they're really good at football. They don't feel like they need to go practice. They don't worry about that. That's not him. He is a player that wants to keep getting better at all times. Who does that remind you of? Guys like Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. So he'll fit right in that regard. And I also think he's durable. The 165 pounds, you look at that and you wonder, like, oh, is he like injury prone? He never missed a game in college. Like, we have that data. He's tough. And we've talked to people around the building, around the league. He's a tough player. That's one of his attributes. So even though he's not very big, he's a player that has toughness. He's super smart. He's incredibly fast, and he's very talented. Again, I'm just very excited about this pick. I think he's an awesome fit here with the Chiefs.
And mentally and emotionally, remember the 22 class? I kept saying they're so mentally and emotionally immature. You get that with Xavier Worthy. The fact that he was elected captain 4 times. I think that we had done some due diligence with Steve Sarkisian, his coach, who was the reason he went to Texas. He's from Fresno, California, right? You're like, how'd you get from Fresno to Austin? I asked him the day before. You and I were kind of chopping it up with him, and he said, Sark, that's it. So our guys have a good relationship, I think. So, like, what are we getting with him? And again, checking all the boxes. So it's exciting. Let's move on because the second pick, and the Chiefs move up just a tad in the second round as Kingsley Suamataia. I had this down.
Suamataia. The kingdom's doing it with us, you know?
Suamataia.
Kingsley Suamataia.
So that fifth syllable, it's actually 5 syllables. Suamataia is the way he says it. Thanks to Mike Keith of the Tennessee Titans. He asked him straight up, like, dude, help us out. And then Kingsley laid it out there. But let's talk about this pick. Because versatility on the offensive line, with the tackles included, comes to mind here. That and athleticism with Kingsley. Is he a work in progress? Yes. Was he listed as the top tackles taken at the beginning of this draft? No. Does he have a high ceiling? Yes. And when you look at his athleticism and his ability to run block in specific, you can just see where, I mean, turn this guy loose. Let's see what he can do starting with rookie minicamp.
He has good size. He's 6'5", 326 pounds. You mentioned the athleticism. Assistant General Manager Mike Borgonzi talked about that last night after we took him. He said that he usually doesn't see players with that size be able to move as light on their feet as Kingsley does. So he has great athleticism, good size. He's young, just 21 years old, just turned 21 in January. So has a lot of football ahead of him, a lot of opportunities to get better in this league. You mentioned the run blocking. Dan Brugler's draft guide is one of my favorites, has lots of great info in there. This is one of my favorite lines in the entire draft guide. He says that Kingsley delivers more pancakes than Denny's. Yeah. Doesn't get better than that. That's just awesome. My favorite thing, though, about Kingsley, the versatility. He has starting experience at both right tackle and left tackle. It's hard to do both of those things. It might be simple, like, hey, you play left tackle. It should be easy. Just bounce over to right tackle. It's not. You're doing the opposite of everything. It's difficult. And a lot of players in this year's draft, they were just right tackles in college. If you have the experience of at least playing both of those positions, it makes you a prime candidate to be maybe a swing tackle here in Kansas City with big-time upside to develop into a lot more. So I love that versatility. Arrows pointing up for Kingsley Suamataia.
Suamataia, and the video that went viral last night is crazy where he jumps out of the pool. He's jumping out of the pool. He's underwater jumping out of the pool.
In the deep water, too.
And kids don't try it at home. Don't go to swimming lessons and go, hey, Kingsley did it. So
I hurt myself watching that.
What? Was that AI? I thought, but no, it was real. All right, the next pick, and another reason to be excited, is Jared Wiley, tight end out of TCU. Started his career at Texas, so he would have been, right, with Xavier Worthy. I'm finding more out about this guy because it gets a little close to home. My son coached in Belton, Texas. My granddaughter was born in Temple, Texas, where her mother was doing her residency as a doctor at Scott & White in Temple, Texas. Jared's sister actually went to Belton High School. The family's from Belton, but Jared decided to go to Temple High School. He went to UT, but then transferred to TCU. When you watch the video of Jared Wiley, you see a lot. It reminds me a lot of a Blake Bell. There's power here. He's a massive human. When you look at 6'6 and 250, but he's also very athletic. What pops off about Jared Wiley is his production in the red zone in specific. 8 touchdowns, 8 receiving touchdowns, among the leaders, right, in FBS for tight ends, but 5 red zone touchdowns. That is music to the ears of the Chiefs kingdom when you look at a tight end room that, of course, includes Travis Kelce and Noah Gray.
And you're right, both of those numbers led all FBS tight ends. So 8 touchdowns last year overall led all FBS tight ends, and 5 of those in the red zone also led all FBS tight ends. Good production last year. He had 47 catches for 520 yards and the 8 touchdowns. I think Chiefs fans will like this. 120 targets in his career, 1 drop. He's described as a vacuum, Velcro hands. Just 1 drop on 120 targets. Love that. And also kind of has some sneaky speed. Everybody you talk to, Jason Lamb, one of the Chiefs area scouts, he mentioned that specifically, said just some real sneaky speed with this guy. You think when a player is 6'6", 250 pounds, they're probably just a blocker. They're probably just a guy on the line of scrimmage, an old school tight end, glorified offensive lineman. That's really not him. He can really do both. He has sneaky speed, particularly up the seam. And he had 3 catches of over 20 air yards just last season at TCU. So exciting to see what he can do. I think right away he makes a lot of sense in the red zone. He's a big, big player in the red zone, running like a post route, a corner route, and just being a big target who can muscle the ball over a DB.
Again, to your point about him being sneaky athletic, watch his 81-yard touchdown against Baylor. Baylor blows coverage. All right, he's not beating some safety. They blow coverage, but Baylor also doesn't catch up with him. In that game, in fact, it was a career high and a single game receiving yards by a TCU tight end against Baylor with 178 yards. So there's also productivity there, not only in the red zone, but out on the field. Also a willing and able blocker. When you see his frame, you'll understand how he'll be a good addition to the tight end room, run game and passing game. I saw Tom Melvin, tight ends coach. I said, you know, congratulations, way to go, like Jared. He goes, another high school quarterback. He goes, we got another high school quarterback. Think of that room and the high school quarterbacks in there. He goes, he'll fit right in. So he was. It tells you of athleticism. Jared was the high school quarterback for the Temple, Texas Wildcats. But we're excited to see what he can do and just be – it's something of need to have a third tight end that can do the characteristics we just laid out.
We also learned that Xavier Worthy was a high school quarterback for 1 year. He could throw the football as well, so lots of high school quarterbacks in the Chiefs locker room. But I'm with you on Jared Wiley, just an athletic player who can do a little bit of both. He's not just a big blocker. He's not just your giant wide receiver, move tight end. He's kind of both and can help you in both areas. So interested to see what he can do this season. Another value pick as well. Looking at Dane Brugler's board, he was the number 89 player overall, number 4 tight end on his board, and we got him at 131, so not bad.
And at 133, I'm really excited. We announced this from the stage in front of the thousands and thousands of fans at Draft Fest, but Jaden Hicks of Washington State, good old Wazoo, at the fourth in the fourth round, take some time and watch his video. Not sure yet why he dropped. Some of the prognostication was that he would grow out of a safety body and become a linebacker. When you look at, he's 6'2", he's 215. Just watch him. I've got to be careful here not to comp him, because L'Jarius Sneed probably had more athleticism coming out of Louisiana Tech. But he fits right in with a Brian Cook. He can play the slot. He blitzes. He has good ball skills. Watch his game against Colorado State in a very athletic play in the flat that just is not always made by defenders. When you his athleticism, he'll hit, man. He is coming downhill for you. When you look at what he did, a 37-yard pick six in that same Colorado State game, I got texts from around the kingdom like, this looks like a very Spagsian pick. I couldn't agree more. I'm really excited about Hicks and what he can do in this defense.
Do you think Jaden Hicks knows you from your time as Washington State's head coach in NCAA Football 14?
I need to tell him that we got to the Rose Bowl. It was River Craycraft. He may have to defend River Craycraft.
Right?
We don't play Miami in the regular season, but it could be in the playoffs. But, yes, we'll talk about those great Wazoo moments of me running on the field in the Rose Bowl, actually in front of my digital guys that played with such heart, and in Martin Stadium winning the Pac-12.
Jaden Hicks is going to meet us and be like, these guys are crazy.
It's weird. These guys are weird.
But I'm with you. Really exciting pick. Speaking of value, looking at Dane Brugler's board again, he was the number 39 player on Dane Brugler's board and the number 1 safety. We got him all the way at 133. The size is interesting at 6'2", 215. Has kind of a strong safety build, but he's not just a strong safety. He's really versatile. Did lots of different things at Wazoo. He had 456 snaps in the box last year, so kind of that strong safety mold, but also 200 snaps as a deep safety, so he can cover, play center field, and 103 snaps over the slot. And look at all of his production last year. He fills the stat sheet. He had 79 tackles, 6 tackles for loss, 6 passes defensed, 2.5 sacks, 2 interceptions, and a forced fumble. I'm not making a direct comparison here because they're very different players, particularly in their build, but that kind of stat line reminds me of Tyrann Mathieu, and a player that's just going to do a whole bunch of different things. He's going to blitz on one snap. Next snap, he's covering the slot. Next snap, he's covering deep and picks a pass off 40 yards down the field. You have to be a great athlete to do that kind of thing, to be kind of this ultimate chess piece, and Jaden Hicks can be that guy. You look at how good this defense was last year. It was the best defense in the NFL, in my opinion. I know it was neck and neck with Baltimore the whole way. Technically, Baltimore had the better numbers at the very end, barely. But considering we beat Baltimore in the playoffs, I consider our defense the best defense in the NFL last year. And adding a player like this, who's athletic, who can play multiple positions and do different things for you and kind of cause havoc in different ways defensively, it's very exciting. And I know Steve Spagnuolo, you know, you go 3 offensive players to begin the draft. He's like, what are we doing here? Mm-hmm. Well, you add this player, he's probably very excited.
This man, just can't wait to see this guy turn it loose and fit into that room with those other DBs, because he's right in there with those guys and what he does and how he does it. And another guy that loves to play football. It sounds cliche-ish. You're like, come on. No, more than ever, NFL guys and our guys are looking. That's why Xavier Worthy is exciting, because he loves to play football. Some guys do this for reasons maybe other than that they love to play football. Hicks loves to play football. So does Worthy. In fact, this class comes to mind. Let's go to these, as we close it out, the final 2 picks. And let's see if 0 sacks and 398 pass block attempts or pass block snaps gets your attention. Or 1 of 5 Power 5 centers to not allow a sack in 2023. Hunter Norzad of Penn State was the Nittany Lions center, kind of a leader on a good offensive line with those guys. But he was the comparison here, the Creed Humphrey of the Penn State Nittany Lions.
And versatility is the big thing. I don't know how many times I'm going to say versatility on this podcast, but that's kind of the theme of this draft. But this guy is versatile. So he has 44 career starts between Cornell and Penn State. He transferred from Cornell after 4 years there. Listen to all these different places he played. 20 starts at right tackle, 13 starts at center. That was last year. 7 starts at left guard and 1 start at right guard. The guy I immediately think of here is Nick Allegretti. Yep. Think how valuable Nick Allegretti was to this team. And from humble beginnings, Nick Allegretti was a 7th-round pick way back in 2019, goes on to fill every single role. We'd watch practice sometimes, and Nick Allegretti would do this thing where he would rotate in with the ones at every single position for 1 rep. So he would rotate in at left tackle, then come out. Rotate in at left guard, then come out. Then go in at center. That is so valuable to have, because if things like what happened last year occur, where you lose Joe Tooney, the best guard in the NFL, before the Super Bowl, all of a sudden you can have a guy like Nick Allegretti go in there and play really well. Nobody panics. Well, obviously Hunter has to earn that right, earn that job, and earn that reputation, but he has the makeup of a player that can maybe do that because he has this versatility. So that's the big thing when I'm looking at Hunter Norzad, is just this versatile background has me very excited.
And think of the big games Penn State has played the last 2 seasons, a lot of them.
Yeah.
24 games for Hunter and only 3 penalties in those 2 seasons as the center for the Penn State Nittany Lions and, again, the Cornell transfer.
Before we move on to, he's also like a genius. Did you read about that?
I did not.
So we learned about this.
He'll fit right in. So Justin Reedon here going to have like...
Apparently, so he's an engineering graduate from Cornell, which is... impressive on its own right.
Ivy League. Yeah.
Apparently, when he was being recruited by FBS schools to transfer, and Penn State eventually won out, the Penn State engineering department was also recruiting him just as hard as the football program was. He's like a genius. So, yeah.
Well, we've got an engineer here that could fit right in. Somewhere Mitchell Schwartz is going, I got to meet this guy.
Yeah.
You know, and
a Rubik's Cube off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just wait, get that offensive line room, and Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith are going, and Tooney will go like, you're an engineer, huh? So it's I don't know, just interesting to see, and the versatility really playing all those spots. And then finally, we've got Kamal Haddon. I want to mention, too, the corner out of Tennessee. Okay, you know, I love to talk about the Jayhawk JUCO Conference. Independence Community College, the Pirates, down there in the southeast portion of the state. Remember Last Chance U made him famous. And Kamal came out of that program. He was also at Auburn for a while, some time at Central Michigan. But he's right there for your grandpa and your mom as a Tennessee Volunteer.
Go Vols, baby.
What gets your attention here, again, the Pro Football Focus coverage grade is 5th in the FBS for this guy, because Kamal was 90.4 coverage grade with Pro Football Focus. That's top 5 of any corner. Think about the corners in this draft from a Power 5 school. So that's impressive in and of itself. Want to see where he also can turn it loose in that DB room.
This is a player that if he didn't get hurt last season, probably would have gotten drafted a lot higher. He missed the last 6 games of the year due to a shoulder injury, but he was just bawling out before he got hurt. The PFF grade is one of the metrics that indicates that. Also, just the basic numbers. He led Tennessee in passes defensed and interceptions last year, despite missing 6 games. He was targeted 33 times on the season. He allowed just 12 catches for 96 yards on 184 coverage snaps. Only allowed 1 catch of 15 or more yards. So no big plays against this guy. He had 11 passes defensed through mid-October before he got hurt. That was 2nd most in the FBS. So he was getting targeted and challenged, and consistently he was winning, and teams weren't able to move the football on him. He also had the top next-gen stats production score of any DB at the Combine. I'll be honest, I don't really know what that means, but whenever you're number 1 in something like that, it's pretty good. So his production was really impressive. He just got hurt. This guy's had a lot of bad luck in his life, had some injuries during his career at Tennessee. But when he's been on the field, he is an incredible athlete, and he's been productive. And what do you do later in the draft? You bring in players that you see their tools and their attributes, and your coaching staff says, I can work with that. So that's the deal with Kamal Haddon.
Again, another Spags-type-looking defensive back. When you look at his metrics, 6'1", 192, didn't blaze the 40, 4.57. That may be another reason why he drops. But his functional speed and strength on the field, you can ask Volunteer fans, is very, very noteworthy. And then finally, as we close it out, C.J. Hansen. If you're a fan of Holy Cross, you love this pick. Archie's Kingdom fans of Holy Cross. He was picked in the seventh round. But another offensive lineman. Again, don't sleep on these guys, right? When you look at him, big, he's spent a lot of time, stayed at Holy Cross, which is impressive to me. Played 13 games in 21, 13 in 22, and 11 in 23. Yes, it's an FCS school. Yes, he only had three games against FBS opponents, BC, Buffalo, and UConn. But still, some pretty good football played in that conference. And for C.J. Hansen, hey, turn it loose, man, with the seventh-round picks who have been productive for us. We'll see. But it feels like a crockpot guy, and to see where he'll fit in along the offensive line or, again, another versatile guy that has multiple traits.
38 starts at right guard during his career at Holy Cross, just a lot of experience playing on the inside of the offensive line. I think interior offensive line was a priority for the Chiefs this offseason, and a big part of that is losing Nick Allegretti. Doesn't seem like a huge deal on the surface. He's not an every-game starter, but it is a huge deal because offensive linemen get hurt, and you have to have players that can step in there and you don't miss a beat. And clearly by adding both Hansen and Hunter Norzad, you want to have continuity. You want to have players who are versatile, who can step in there and play good football along the offensive line. That's why you bring in C.J. Hansen, again, playing at an FCS school, not faced a ton of really great competition in his life. But you look at the traits, you look at the player, you look at the athleticism, and you look at his technique, and you say, I can work with that. So excited to see what he can do, and we'll see how it shakes out here when OTAs begin in just a couple weeks. Hard to believe, huh?
And the culture of that room with the O-line room is one of nurturing and one of teaching. Not only are they taught well by Andy Heck, but they teach each other. And that's where Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith come into play. They're just, you know, we talked about, we did a whole podcast on Offensive Line University. And those guys, whether it's Wanya Morris or the guys in this rookie class, they enter a room that will be teaching each other as we move forward. And yes, it's very exciting, Matt. Let's just close it here. But now, all of a sudden, we get ready for rookie minicamp and the start of things. And then OTAs start to really kick in now in going into the next couple of phases. So, yes, ladies and gentlemen, the class of 2024. One final comment?
Well, I was going to mention, isn't it just crazy that Creed and Trey, they are the Wiley veterans now. They're the two-time Super Bowl champions that these young offensive linemen will follow. I mean, I feel like we were just doing our podcast recapping the 2021 draft, talking about those players and what they could turn into, and it's pretty amazing what they have, and it's good perspective on this year's draft. I mean, yeah, we got Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Chris Jones, but you have to keep hitting in the draft in order to continue this run of dominance, to keep the Chiefs as the best team in the NFL, and I just really like this class so far. They got to go out there and play, but it's exciting, and also the process is just getting started here, because now it's UDFA season. Be glued to Twitter, see what UDFAs are going to be signing with the Chiefs, because, like you said, rookie minicamp is in 1 week. You'll have your draft picks out there, but also probably 15 to 20 UDFAs, and about 50 tryout players will be out there. And don't sell those guys short. Every year, one of those tryout players ends up making the team or having a shot to make the team. Last year, it was Echo Boydo at corner. The process of finding the players that will make up this team and go for this three-peat, we're deep into it now, but we're not done.
And Echo Boydo is getting a Super Bowl championship ring, and he just drove in here one day and said, hey, can I try it out? So he's a valuable guy, but value in this class, ladies and gentlemen, just continue to look these guys up and do some more research. But for Matt McMullen, I'm Mitch Holtis. Welcome now to the Chiefs Kingdom, the defending Super Bowl champions and looking to make history with three consecutive Super Bowl titles. Welcome your class of 2024.